Your hand up first. You were the quickest. And if you would sign in, please, on the sheet there, and if you would also then give us your name and address, please. You can put that right on the podium itself.
There we go.
And you may have to pull the microphones down a little.
Good afternoon. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a senior citizen who bought a condo at Sea Chase because it was a lovely, quiet neighborhood. I understand that people have a right to make money on the sale of their property. I'm not against capitalism or development. I object to the high density in the area. I object to the 20-foot tree line. This is going to have a huge impact on our kind of low-rise neighborhood, and that's where the higher density townhouses are going. 20 feet is not enough for a tree line for this. My other objection, by the time DelDOT does an impact study, we're going to be beyond the tipping point, guys. I drive this. I try to make a left turn out of Sea Chase onto Old Landing Road. There was a serious accident there a couple of weeks ago. Someone's car was totaled. It's a 40-mile-an-hour drag strip. They're coming from this way, from Coastal Highway. Over here, we have a failed four-lane stop sign deal. It's an evacuation route. It's a bike path. I don't know how those folks that live by the bay are going to get out in an emergency. We've got Redland that's going up right across the street. It's so hard to drive now, it's pretty terrifying, and it's only June. Putting more high density traffic in that spot, perhaps if we had a traffic light, it would take us an hour to get out to Coastal Highway, but at least we wouldn't be killed. This is a terribly dangerous spot. It's a failed intersection, and that is my biggest objection. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Your name?
And I saw.
Address.
We
did
need
you
your
give your name and address?
For the record.
I didn't hear it.
I'm sorry. Did you give your name and address? I know you wrote it down. Can you?
Barbara Smuckler, 2 Laura's Way, Rehoboth Beach.
Thank you.
And I saw other hands go up. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Shirley Dalrymple. I live at 4 Laura's Way in Sea Chase. I understand that Mr. Lockwood plans to market these residences to the 55 and older community or second homes. Well, a three-story condominium in the middle of this whole thing will need an elevator because 55 and older are not going to buy on the third floor, probably not even on the second floor. The traffic situation here is absolutely absurd. I have lived here I've been here since 17 years, which is 1999. And it has only gotten worse. The four-way stop sign at Warrington and Old Landing Road is abominable. I have seen the traffic backed up on Warrington and Plantation Road all the way to Lowe's Hardware Store, which is on near Route 9. And it just bumper to bumper. And why is it? Because they're all avoiding Route 1, because that is all backed up. This is mainly they're mainly tourists, but there are a lot that are residents too. The other piece of this is we had a fire out on Old Landing Road almost at the very end. About 2 months ago. It destroyed 2 homes out there. I had a client, because I'm in the medical profession, who was visiting a person out there who was on oxygen and was in dire straits. She was stuck there for 3 hours to get out of there. She had another client that she had to visit, and she couldn't get there, and that client was in more dire straits than this one. That road is a very narrow road. There were at least four or five fire engines, and I don't know if there were any ambulances there or not. I don't think there were, but I'm not sure. I wasn't there, but I was told this. And this is abominable. We have a lot of houses out there. We don't need any more residents in this area. That Warrington Road and Old Landing Road and Plantation Road is the worst ever. For you people who sit over here in Georgetown, you need to go over there to those areas and take a look what goes on. I went to Seaford the other day, and yes, it's wonderful driving out to Seaford. They're open fields and have nice places to drive and to park and whatever. Not so on the east side of Sussex County. We are inundated with an overabundance of people. And it is not fair to the people who live there. DelDOT doesn't plan to really do anything. Yes, the developers, even on 24 and on 9, they will do the widened areas at the entrances and the exits of these communities that are being built. But then it goes right back down to the two-lane road again. So it doesn't accomplish anything. The other thing that I object to is the buffer. 20 feet is not near enough. We have beautiful trees behind the community where I live, and 20 feet is going to just take them away. The water situation, we have a little bit of a water situation now, and it's only going to get worse because we don't have the tree roots to absorb a lot of this water. 20 feet is not wide enough. We have a lot of wildlife there. We have a lot of birds. We're just destroying our environment.
I know
by
one
doing
chicken
this.
That lives there. I hear him every morning. One rooster that lives there, I hear him every morning. Mm-hmm. So we know.
So, you know, you really need to take a look. You need to go there and take a look at this situation. And not just at a map or a video thing. The other thing is, I think the council needs to take a good look at the eastern side of Sussex County. Mm-hmm. Over here, yeah, you have open spaces, you have wide spaces, you don't have this kind of problem. But you cover the entire county. You've been voted in for the entire county, and you need to take a look at that side of the county.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Zoning is too easy. Much too easy.
Sir, come on down. You can come on ahead.
Zoning. Too easy.
We said the four alarm off just for you.
I'm sorry?
We said the four
a little competition.
Said
yes.
The four alarm off just for you.
There you
I'll
go.
Try to talk loud enough so you can hear me.
You've got
my name
front.
Is Rich Mihelcic. That's Mihelcic. And I live in Sea Chase. I was president of the community for a number of years. I'm no longer. There's so much to talk about here, folks. Let me just start by saying that I think we as residents of this part of the county have to acknowledge the notion that the county depends on transfer tax revenues for an awful lot of its income, that construction and new development's important. We're not opposed to development. And this isn't some sop that I'm just presenting to our elected officials, but I'm saying that we have to balance considerations in thinking about such things, as you do in terms of our elected officials. The people that we put in office have to balance a lot of what you hear here. Well, I heard something here today that was very, very troubling to me, and that's from the proponents of this particular proposal. And I want you to we could talk about 20 things here. We could talk about traffic and buffers and whatever, all important, all significant. You've heard me talk before about traffic. It's a nightmare. No, it can't be overstated. It's bad. And there should be a traffic study. We had heard previously, by the way, that there would be a traffic study. Or that they were going to use an old one. That was one of the, maybe before the planning board, that was said. We talk about a buffer, 24, 50, 50. These are 75, 85 foot trees. My heavens, you may not have any buffer at all for 20 or 30 feet based on the spacing of trees. How about the notion of, by the way, where's the emergency exit from this community? There's only one entrance, 202 units. 202 units with the development being heavily oriented toward the rear. Yes. And then this is the issue that I said I take exception to.
True.
The whole notion that, by the way, there's a consistency here in density, it's false. There is not. There is not. Please take a drive through CCHASE. Take a look at the community. You're talking about basically two units, so-called carriage homes. Okay? Look at Sterling Crossing. Two-unit carriage homes. Not six-unit townhouses. Not 15-unit apartment buildings. Two units. CCHASE Estates. Detached single-family homes. Okay? Those are the adjacencies on this side. Here. But look at the development. Half of this development is proposed.
Sir, if you come back to the mic, because people also watch this on the internet, and the cameras are located there, and
screen.
The mics.
That's fine.
Okay. You can point
to
the screen.
But look at the southern half of this particular screen. That's the single family homes. It's half of the 35 acres. The 35 acres that are of whatever the quote was, 5.6 or whatever units per acre. Well, wait a minute. 202 units into 35 acres. My math serves me. That's 7.5 or whatever. But in any event, let me say this. These are the adjacent communities do not have three-story apartment units. You can't, within a mile of this particular community, you can't find that. And so the conditional use, you folks owe it to us to consider whether or not you should be taking a look at whether or not there should be a condition here that we should not have apartment units in a development like this. You heard from our proponents here that it's appropriate here because it's adjacent to these multifamily units. Two-unit buildings. Two-unit carriage homes, folks, with plenty of grass and plantings around. There's a difference. It's not the same. So whether it's the traffic that's horrific, which I don't think we need to tell you anymore. Speak to Councilwoman Deaver about that. Anyone who goes down those roads every day, we can tell you anecdotal stories, every one of us, everyone who lives in the community. I can tell you one from Saturday. I went to a community meeting at Epworth Church on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I actually timed it. How long was I waiting at the entrance of CCHASE on Old Landing Road to get out? You know how long I waited? 10 minutes. I was late for an annual meeting of our community. 10 minutes. On a Saturday at 10:45, 10 minutes. So something's got to be done. And there, you've got to be interested in listening to the community. Not hyperbole about, well, this or someone who's made millions and millions of dollars selling property or whatever. We're talking about a situation where people who care, people lived here for years. I've been here for 14 years. Okay, these other folks have been here for years. We care about this community. We're not east versus west in the county. We're not negative on anything about development here. We understand the role that transfer taxes play in the bigger picture with this county. But on the other hand, there's got to be a balance. And we've got to see the balance taken into consideration when you have horrific traffic. And then you get a proposal like this with a 20-foot buffer with 75 or 80-foot trees where there may be nothing. Nothing for that 20 feet. Nothing. Or we'll hear lame excuses. There's a conditional proposal here, folks, and I implore you, I beg you, to basically take a look at it and put conditions on this if you're going to approve it, if multi-use is appropriate. But let's look at the traffic. The traffic situation will not get worse if, in fact, we don't have a development. It's bound to get worse with any development. But here's my point, ladies and gentlemen. It's this. If they put another 60 individual units here as opposed to those townhouses and the apartment units, you'd have 120 units. It'd be reduced traffic coming into the organization or into the community. So what's important for us to consider here is, one, no emergency exit, no other exit, one entrance on Warrenton Road. Warrenton Road is backed up past 24. Ms. Deaver will tell you that in terms of every weekend, every during the week, in the summertime, it's a problem. So I ask for your serious consideration to be applied to this, and that suggests that this particular proposal should either be rejected or the conditions should be placed upon it to address the buffer, to address the emergency exit, or there's got to be some way to get out of the community with 200 units, and to realize that we're not talking about consistent approaches that, in fact, make this compatible with the adjacent communities, because the adjacencies are not what they're presented as. Not when there's two units as opposed to six and then 15 in a building. Because if you look at those 15, those four buildings, that takes up a couple acres of this entire site. You're going to have 60 60 families living in a few acres of land. So with that, I'll leave you, and I thank you for your attention. Do you have any questions, any of you?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve Dolnack, D-O-L-N-A-C-K. I live in Sea Chase at 1 Lee's Way. And I'm entering and signing in, please. My neighbor Rich has covered just about everything. I know we're not supposed to repeat the same things over. I had a couple concerns. Driving over here at 12:30 on a Tuesday, traffic was backed up from that intersection at Old Landing in Warrenton all the way to 24. It's a Tuesday in the middle of the day. It shouldn't be backed up. That's Bike Route 1, Warrenton Road. And DelDOT is not going to address that for at least 10 years. Right now, there is nothing on the plan through 2020, and it's going to take 3 to 5 years to actually build something after that. So we're looking at 10 years before any relief of the roads, and things have been in the works for a number of years and haven't come through. Another thing that was concerning is my neighbors and I have been coming to planning and zoning meetings for the last year about this project, and the exact same plan was presented from high density to medium density without any regard for any of the comments that any of the neighbors had made regarding the buffers, regarding entrances, or anything. And it's concerning that you wouldn't take the feedback of the people who actually live here, so there's complete disregard for the residents in the area. And the notion that at the planning and zoning meeting, the folks proposing the property said they will attempt to keep as many trees as possible, which you can't just do on the fly. I used to work in construction, and I know that you clear the site. That's the very first thing you do. And with these 70 to 80 foot trees, the root system is at least as large as the crown of the tree. So 20 feet, if you cut that swath, you've got trees that are just going to fall over. So it's very disappointing. The last item I'd like to talk about, do I have anything else? Oh, the environmentally sensitive area. I know this is part of an environmentally sensitive area. I know there were studies done on it. I'm assuming it's done that way for a reason, but I just want to make sure that the council takes into consideration any considerations that it is environmentally sensitive. So thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Someone else? Was there anyone? Sir?
My name is William Zach. I live at 7 Deerfield in Briarwood, just off Route 24. I have pretty much general observations to make following up on Joan's comments and my own reflections on Eastern Sussex. The situation we're dealing with is so much broader than the purview of this council generally in approving single developments. And without a larger picture, we're not really addressing what is a gathering crisis. It already is a crisis. I think on the one side there's developers' interests and property rights, a legitimate value. But on the other side, there are emergency exits during hurricanes and storms. There's flooding damage. We did have a flood in the 60s that apparently flooded all the way to Millsboro. So there were undoubtedly evacuations during that storm. There are issues, someone mentioned a fire. There were two fires recently in Hart's Landing. And the proximity of the buildings could have been a conflagration. They both burnt to the ground before volunteer fire services could get to them. And in one case, the siding on the house next to it was melted. So putting this kind of density together is an invitation to catastrophe, as is the issue of trying to get to people with health emergencies. If we have horrible traffic situations, as we do, then there are bound to be catastrophic circumstances where people who have an absolute need for health remedies and trips to the hospital in ambulances who are simply not going to be gotten to. They're just going to die. We have a number of factors here. I read Councilman Cole's interview with WBOC. His declaration was that 5 to 7 million visitors come to this area in 6 months every year, more than the Hawaiian Islands get all together in an entire year. So we are getting a huge number of people coming in, many, many of whom are traveling on two east-west corridors that are single-lane roads that DelDOT is going to be doing nothing about for, as the gentleman mentioned, at least 10 years. That's an intolerable situation when you add the number of people moving into the area. When I was working with the Center for the Inland Bays, Ms. Deaver came and told us at our request about development in the area around the Inland Bays, and this was during the economic downturn. And when she did, she told us that there were between 3,000 and 4,500 approved lots for building. We are now witnessing in the upsurge in the economy many, many of those developments coming online. Almost all of these developments have single entrances and single exits, which means there's no interconnection and no alternatives to being on Route 24 or Route 9, neither of which is to be improved within the next 10 to 15 years. When I first moved here, it was an anomaly to leave my development in 2001 onto Route 24 and not be able to get onto Route 24 rather quickly. It's just the opposite now. It's a rare instance when it isn't 3 or 4 minutes to get out onto 24. Today, I was coming home from lunch, the traffic on 24 was lined up from the light at Plantations Road all the way to Peddler's Village, which is approximately a mile and a quarter, and traffic was inching along on the other side of the road as I was going down my side. This is on a Tuesday at 11. Now, this particular kind of development, and the reason I'm here talking today is because soon you're going to be talking about a dormant property, which also wants this medium density, kind of urban density development. The difference between the number of trips per day that AR1 would develop on that 130 acres, the 30 acres here and the 100 acres buildable over at Dorman, is approximately 600 a day. If you just calculate what the developer says for the Dorman property and what's been mentioned here today, we're talking about 4,500 trips a day added to what's there now within a 2 mile area dumped onto essentially these tiny little side roads which empty immediately onto Route 24. So you got a situation that is soon to be horrific, might cause deaths of people who presently live here, and I think even in a larger picture might kill the goose that lays the golden egg. I mean, if you think about the people coming from Baltimore and Washington here, they presently, during the summer, can often have 6, 7, 8 hour delays at the bridge because of traffic backup going home. Well, if you're coming east-west on 24 or 9, you could be adding 2, 3, 4 hours to your trip to the beaches for a weekend or for a day trip. What is to make a situation livable even for visitors, let alone for those people who are already here? My argument would be that given how bad the situation is and how little the state is going to do about traffic control in eastern Sussex, incidentally, in a population that is the oldest demographic in the United States, according to Nancy Feichel, who's organized this sort of a road service for the elderly when they can't drive anymore. This county has the oldest demographic of any county in the United States. So you're dealing with people increasingly elderly, increasingly slow in their reactions, having difficulties negotiating this kind of traffic situation. And in the end, if you destroy because you have simply overdeveloped in an area that can accommodate it, you're going to end up in a situation where property values for the people who live here are going to decline because the resorts won't be a destination any longer. And people won't want to buy here so much as they did before. And the result is going to be that everybody is going to suffer in terms of financial well-being because their own property is not worth what it was. And merchants in the resorts are going to suffer because we're not going to get the same level of interest in coming to the resorts. So I think that the picture is that for the immediate present is don't zone anything that demands a zoning change from AR1. We're already accommodating development by the openness of AR1 to development. But surely don't proceed with lots more urban density projects in an area that's already swamped. All right, I'm sure I've forgotten four or five things I wanted to say, but it strikes me that the picture has to be broader than what you folks seemingly have to deal with day to day, which is always a very minute portion of the picture. Now, we've got to think more comprehensively for the well-being of everyone. I mean, even property rights people, the farmers who want to sell, if this ceases to be a destination as it is now, their ability to make money on the property they'd like to sell when their children don't want to farm anymore is going to decline. So seeing a broader picture is extremely important to this. And I think for the moment, I'd say, please consider very seriously changing any zoning from AR1 to anything denser. It just doesn't seem that there's any necessity for it, whatever. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you.
Sir, what is the name of your community that you lived in? You
mentioned I live in Briarwood, which is right off Route 24.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
And I'll be here in a couple of weeks to talk about Dorman, which is a similarly urban density request for change of zoning in a very environmentally sensitive area. Let me urge any and all of you before
that.
Well,
we can discuss it at that hearing.
Well, it would be nice if you could read the piece that was in the Cape Gazette about how environmentally sensitive it is. It came out last week.
If it's part of the public record, I shall.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we'll close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's the council's desire, we can close the public record.
We will close public hearing. If council's okay, we'll close public record.
Yeah, I don't know that we have any. Either? I don't know that any additional information or facts or figures are necessary, but I don't want to vote today.
Just one quick question for Mr. Lank, because I don't. Maybe it was mentioned, but I just want. I'm thinking of it now, but from the applicant. But is there any wetlands on this property? And if so, what is the percent? And what is the percent? Do we
the
recall
site?
On the site? Yeah,
I'd refer to the engineer.
If you want to step up, man, just answer that one question.
Yep.
Are there wetlands and how much?
Sure, Mr. Arlett. We looked at the state critical areas maps, and there are no wetlands mapped within the project boundary.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're okay to close the public comment? Okay.
I want to check into that testimony we had from folks that live on those woods and are already having water problems or water accumulation. How do we find out more about that? There's evidently some sort of water problem there.
Well, that would be part of the soil and water, I think Mr. Schrader in his presentation indicating there were many, many different agencies that have to deal with. One would be soil and water.
Right.
When you say water,
the conservation district.
Are you, are you talking about drinking water? Or are you talking about...
I'm talking about lying, in the water lying, you know, above the ground. And it's not just not soaking in right now. What happens when all those trees come down? I think that it would be a major problem. But I don't have the facts or that any more information, because that's really not my field, but I want to know about it. And so can I get information from the district about that?
Where would she get information?
Conservation district.
I don't know.
Conservation district.
Conservation district. Yeah. That's the main source, and they're representing, their regulations basically are the state regulation from DENREC on soil and water conservation.
Okay. I mean, Mrs. Neely, would you like to leave the public comment?
Yes, I want to learn more about that.
Public record
water.
Open.
Oh, excuse me, public record open for information from soil conservation?
Yes.
And I want to ask one other quick question, because it was addressed, obviously, from the concerns from the neighbors, and that would be, as it relates to, you know, one entrance or two entrances, who makes the decision? Is that the fire marshal that makes the decision on those? I mean, who determines whether or not there should be one or two entrances to a community? DLDOT does make that determination?
Right.
And so how do they make that determination? Is that based on what factors? Do we know that?
No, I'd have to respond to that to get an answer from DLDOT, but DLDOT typically in projects, it seems to be almost any size anymore, prefers one entrance. It's more control for them to be able to maintain the integrity of that intersection being created by that entrance.
At some
the
point...
The projects we see are single entrance.
Okay. I mean, at some point in time, I guess, do they require two entrances because of number of units? For safety factors or what?
In a situation where this is one frontage on one road is typically one.
Right.
If they have multiple frontages on different roads and they're both the same category of road, then they may allow for two. If it's a collector road and there's other access points, they prefer it on the secondary.
Okay.
It varies. It all depends on the site.
Well, couldn't it be safer if you had two entrances right on that road itself?
It's possible, but DLDOT prefers one.
Mm-hmm. They prefer one over
two. But it's easier to control.
It's a fire marshal talking. Have we heard from him about this?
We haven't heard from the majority of the agencies other than through the PLUS process, which the applicant went through, because we're not in now. If they got approval, then we go to the agencies to get specific comments based on the design of the project. For the entrance, the
seems
stormwater.
Kind of backwards that we don't have those approvals before.
You're not finding many agencies, counties, or the applicants that are want to go to final approval and then come before a public hearing and have all their final approvals and get denied.
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't happen that way.
But we want that information nevertheless.
You get a conceptual consideration in the public hearing process, then you go to the other agency to get your approval.
And you don't know what the outcome will be.
No, you don't, and it varies.
One last question. I think I've got one last question, and that would be as it relates to the condos, the condo buildings. There are four of them, I believe. So there was another concern as it relates to the fire, the safety, things like that. Is there a separate code for those buildings as compared to the rest of the townhomes or single families? Is there a requirement for sprinkler systems, or is there any separate differential or requirement for those buildings?
I'd have to refer to the fire marshal, but that's their jurisdiction. And there, as someone asked a question about should there be elevators, that would be up to the fire marshal also. But if they have elevators, they're going to also have to have stairwells, because they have to, typically if there's a fire, they don't want to use the elevator. They want to use the stairs.
And hasn't this been this been considered for a long time, this project?
But they would not go to those different agencies until such time as they have approval. Then they go. They have the conceptual plan. They have the zoning change, conditional use. Then based on that, they design, go to the agencies. They do not get the final site plan approval until they're able to show that they have all these agency approvals.
Right, and we don't don't have anything to say about it at that time.
But again, just for the record, I mean, in the end, if there is those buildings, okay, that ended up being approved, we don't know where it'll go. go, but the fact of the matter is they still have, would have to comply with the fire marshal
right.
and the code and whatever requirements exist.
Fire marshal looks at two things. Not just, they look at the building for one. There's a permit issued for the building. Right. There's another permit that has to be issued for the site plan as it relates to that building.
Okay.
So there's two approvals you get from fire marshal.
Okay, very good.
It's up to the fire marshal to tell you how big, how wide a step you have.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Any more questions from council?
Thank you.
Just that I would like to hear more about
Well, we will
the
leave
drainage.
The public record open. Yeah.
For that purpose only?
I want to hear about the drainage.
Mr. Lank, I guess, will you contact Soil Conservation in reference to Mrs. Deaver's question about the retention of water mm-hmm. on the land? And mm-hmm.
I'd like to have something more specific than okay. just that.
Well, I'd like to. Well, we had testimony from one of the neighbors that they already have a problem with drainage, and they're right on the edge of that property. And we might want to refer to that neighborhood or... I just wanted to know if we already have problems and we take down the trees, do we have a big issue there?
The one thing about conservation district regulations that are on the books right now, they can't have any more runoff from their site than what exists mm-hmm. right now. No matter what they do to that site, they have to maintain it on their site. They can't have any more runoff.
Well, that would
That's
take care of
That's the one answer
it.
You're going to get.
That would take care of it. That would take care of it.
Basically, it would say the runoff will stay the same. Can't be any greater.
All right. Well, that would take care of my concern then.
You okay? Mm-hmm. All right. And we don't have the we will close the public comment.
Yes.
Close public record.
Mm-hmm. I moved.
Mr. Yes. Moore, I would ask you to read the short title, and I'm going to ask a question. Obviously, this is in Mr. Cole's district. He's not here. We might want to consider deferring so he can listen to the public record and then have input on his
district. Okay.
That's just a thought.
And if you'd like, I'll read the short title for
Please
both.
Do.
First, I'll read for the change of zone.
An
ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 35.45 acres more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for deferral.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett, to defer on change of zone 1796. Questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 35.45 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for deferral.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to defer on conditional use 2046. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I have yes. Motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Yes, you got it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Second. Arlett. Second. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're now adjourned. Thank you.